There's some words I want you to write down that is very important. Leadership. Lifestyle. Legacy. They correlate. Leadership, lifestyle, legacy. Then there's four more things I want you to consider as we aim to mature you in ministry. Now listen, all of y'all are not going to be leading ministers. God is training y'all to help somebody, okay? Everybody not going to have the leadership of the ministry, but God trained different people to help other people do what he told them to do. All right, now, this is so important because I'm going to show you a 12 step to mature your ministry and mature in ministry. Now, but it's not a step. This is what you need to understand. Number one, you need to understand decision making. Decision making. You have to make decision in a certain way in ministry. Number two, your decision is going to determine, we try to get some water. Get this thing on Hebrew. This thing act crazy as soon as I touch it. Number two, your decision is going to determine your attitude. You have to have a certain attitude in ministry. All right? Number three, your attitude is going to determine your outlook. So you got decision, attitude, outlook. I'll give you a definition of all of them in a minute. And your outlook going to determine your outcome. For sadly to say, there are much failure in ministry. And I think it's because not having proper covering, not waiting on the Lord, moving too fast, cause you to get out there and struggle. So you have to have decision, attitude, outlook, and outcome. Let me see if I define these for you before I show you these 12 steps. Let's get a definition of decision. A conclusion or resolution reached after much consideration of it, or your action or process of resolving a question. A conclusion or resolution, you know, people make resolution every new year, keep them 5 days, reach after much consideration of it, or your action or process of resolving a question. It's a decision, it's a process. We as ministers have to have a particular, peculiar process in dealing with things in the spirit. Okay? This is not just about preaching sermon. You have to be a decision maker. And you have to learn that. And your attitude is a solid way of thinking about someone or something which is reflected in your behavior. A solid way of thinking about someone or something which is reflected in your behavior. An outlook is a person's point of view or general attitude to life. Now, with our point of view, your point of view should be God's point of view. You should be in, listen to these words, at all time, divine agreement, at all time. Now, you won't be able to do that without faith, because God is a faith God. So he will say things and ask you to do things and reveal things to you that normally you couldn't comprehend. Then a lot of time you're going to have to do something. You're going to have to trust God all the way. Your mind going to be hot. I'm pastor can tell you. Your mind going to be screaming at you. Are you out your mind? Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
So it's really not walking in the dark, it's walking in the light.
Yes.
See, walking in the dark with God is walking in the light. Because
yes,
if he told you to do it, you trust him by faith.
Yes.
All right? And the outcome, you ought to be able to define that yourself, the way things turn out, the result. All right? Now, the way you approach ministry will ultimately determine the outcome of your ministry, the way you approach it. Are you following me? The wrong approach will lead to a what? Wrong outcome. And the right approach will lead you into a right outcome. Now, when we talk about leadership, lifestyle, and legacy, those three things go together. What you going to leave behind when you leave here? And you're not much of a leader if you don't have a particular lifestyle. Some think you can lead in any kind of lifestyle, but I don't believe that's right. I believe that if you're going to follow the Lord, if you're going to preach something to me, you ought to live it too. And you're going to tell me about success, you ought to sooner or later have some success. Is that right? Now, I came on my study and found 12 patterns given in the book of Hebrews. Now, the book of Hebrews opened with a definite clear of the sonship of Jesus, but I think in that first chapter, it bespeaks his ministry too, how he was high powered, highly anointed with the spirit of gladness, anointed with the oil of gladness. He had a scepter, and he upheld everything by the word of his mouth. These 12 resolution or decision that I'm about to share with you will share with me, you apply to your ministry and your life, any situation you may be facing, and you'll come out victorious. It's going to be based on the aspect of the children of Israel, how they fail by not trusting God. Many of them died in the wilderness. They didn't trust God. A lot of ministry is in the wilderness right now because they're not following God. When you follow God, that should be a joy no matter what's going on. Let's look at Hebrews chapter 4. And we're going to read some verses there. I'm going to read out the New American Standard Bible. Therefore, let us fear. All 12 of these lessons are let us. Let us fear if, while a promise remain of entering his rest, any one of you may seem to have come short of it. Now, if there's anything you need to be focused in ministry, is divine supernatural rest.
Yes, sir.
You're going to have it because natural rest can't handle some of the things you're going to be dealing with. You're going to have to know how to tap into God's divine supernatural rest, which also produces a trust.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yep.
Also produces a knowing that I cannot fail. also, listen, class, produces a trail that nobody hadn't traveled before.
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Wow. Now, see, you know when you're personalized, sometimes men on the inside of it wearing tailor-made suit, they got their name on the inside of it.
Yes,
they personalized. There's some personalized garment you got to wear,
yes, sir,
in ministry,
yes, sir,
just for you. Nobody never had it on before.
Yeah.
No, that's nothing new under the sun, but that's a lot of new stuff. According to what calling you have on your life, according to what type of people you're dealing with. Are you following me?
Yes,
but you're going to have this divine rest. There's a revelation I'll share at his church probably the first night that it's so strong I'm going to have people hold hands. I just found it out myself. So God have a way to deal with you, you see. But you that reverential fear there in that verse, that's the ideal. I think you should have this ideal. I don't want to miss the turn God want me to turn. I just come back and correct something. Y'all heard the tape? Huh? You haven't heard it yet? You need to get on it. Get on it instantly, because it's apostolic. And it's another time God has sent me into an arena and let me go real deep, almost over my head. Then he told me, he said, now come on back out. I did that with grace. I mean, see, if you really going to follow me, that was a test to give out in the land of Florida. I said, I love money. Who going to show up the next night? Who really knows my heart? I mean, Jesus will shake him away. Boy, Jesus will say something. It'll shake him something. Jesus, a lot of them start going back. Well, they wasn't ready. And you don't want to get out there with them who are not ready. Because when you see the church, one of the aspects of the church is an assembly, is the body of Christ, is the his workmanship. The church is a family. But the last line of the seven things, I'll get it to you, but the church is an army.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And we got to know how to walk in ranks,
yes,
and how to trust leadership.
Yes,
now the second voice revealed, it says, for indeed we have good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united with faith in those who heard. The King James Version said it didn't mix it with faith. So because of that, they did not enter the rest. They didn't enter the rest because of that. They didn't mix it with faith. Now, if you in ministry, you better keep your faith mixture. Don't never unplug it. And leave it on the on switch. In order to lead, you see. Because you're going to need it. Are you following me, class? I'll get to it. Just hold on a minute. The third verse says, for which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I've sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the work was finished from the foundation of the world. He spoke in the fourth verse, the King James Version now. For he spake in a certain place of the seventh day on this wise, and God did rest the seventh day from all his work. All right, now, they didn't enter in because of unbelief. They didn't mix it with faith. And what is being said here, don't let this happen to you. You need to operate in faith in order to stay in ministry properly. Now, the scripture says there are carcasses fell in the wilderness because of unbelief and disobedience, which called them to fail. Listen very carefully. To fail. You can't do this in ministry. Now, I don't know how much I could build this up, what I'm about to say. You can't let this happen to you in ministry. What I'm about to tell you, you cannot. It's too expensive.
Yes,
is the most expensive commodity you have in ministry. What I'm about to share with you now. And the scripture said their carcasses fell in the wilderness because of unbelief and disobedience, which caused them to fail to hear the voice of the Lord. And that's why they didn't enter into the rest, because they failed to hear the voice of the Lord. And so a lot of strategies, a lot of things people do now in ministry, no one can talk to them. When the screwdriver get in the screw and start tightening it up a little bit, they leave. This is not what I'm looking for. So you can't train them. So they go back and keep doing what they've been doing, which is nothing. Now, these 12 let us in Hebrews, here's what I believe they're going to do. Bring you in full alignment with kingdom assignments that have been given you. All right? So you got it now. You got leadership, lifestyle, legacy. Right? All right, you got decision. What else? What else? What else? All right. Why didn't they answer the rest? Two reasons. Three reasons. Unbelief, disobedience, because they fail to hear the voice of God. God is not always going to say what you want him to say. God will cross you up and mess you up till you grow up. He will give you assignment after assignment. You should serve somebody before you go in ministry anyway. And the one you serve ought to treat you rough.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. Ask Philip. I mean, his former pastor, the church he pastored him. But the man was dressing him up for the church. Man would cut him. Man said, go home. You know? You know, I could have a bunch of people in my house. I said, all right, that's it. I'm going to bed. See y'all later. Thing just started. You know. Don't come back no more. I don't care. So now we're dealing with let us, and they got a let us right there in that fourth chapter. The first one, let us not fear. We're going to break that one down. You got to have a cooperating spirit too to lead.
Yes, sir.
You don't need to be. Maybe sometime I look like one, but you don't need to be no long ranger.
Yes, sir.
So the Holy Spirit in these 12 steps, I think for a personal life, for leadership, I think everybody should know these 12 steps. Some things I'm skipping because I want to get down to some things. So here's the first warning to the Hebrew believer was, let us fear. You see that?
Yes, sir.
Now, mark Hebrews 3, 7 through 14. You need to read that. They tell you about unbelief. I listen to them the day over and over again. It says the writer to the Hebrews give us a specific example of why they should fear. I think we need to look at that. Look at the third chapter of Hebrews. And we're going to begin at the seventh verse. It just give us an idea of what they did, and we'll know not to do it. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit, I'm in the New American Standard. Therefore, just as the Holy Spirit says today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts as when they provoked me, as in the day of trial in the wilderness, where your fathers tried me by testing me and saw my works for 40 years. Therefore, I was angry with this generation and said, they always go astray in their heart, and they did not know my ways. As I sworn in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest. And in this setting here, it's talk about the peril of unbelief, how dangerous it is. So he said, take care, brethren. Here's a comparison of what happened to Israel. Take care, brethren, that there not be any one of you an evil, unbelieving heart that fall away from the living God, but encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have become partakers of Christ, if we hold fast the beginning of our assurance firm until the end. And Israel didn't. They didn't make it. And so it's a good parallel for one portion of life and ministry also, that you're going to hold fast to your confession of faith. You're going to hold fast to believe in God and stick it with the plan of God. All right? All right. So he said, let us fear. What we got to be fearful of? Number one, not hearing God's voice, not getting direction, not being able to believe like God wants to believe. That God brought that whole generation out of Egypt by many miraculous work. And then the author points out, as he has brought many of us out of many by many miraculous wonders. You'd be amazed the story we can hear here tonight. Just among us. I mean, we would sit down and contemplate and think about it as we should. Miraculous things have happened for you to be sitting here tonight. Y'all all just want to answer. I have so many moments in my life that I know I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for God. All kind of failures going to invite you to come in, sit down. All kind. But it's in the process of growing. Yes, right. Trusting. Yes, sir. Jesus called us to a rest. Remember in Matthew chapter 11, I always use verse 27 because one of the first things before you enter into a rest, you're going to have revelation. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This kind of rest. But Jesus said, come unto me all you. He's talking about learning of him. Yes, remember that? Matthew 11, 27 through 30. Yes, sir. Powerful. Here, it tells us how they failed to enter in. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Unbelief. Disobedient. Because they didn't hear his voice. Yes, right. You cannot do it like you want to do it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. See? Yes, sir. See, prayers are not to order God. Right. Prayers are to get orders from God. Yes, sir. Right. Write it down. Yes. See, don't be ordering God with your prayer. Right. Prayers are to get orders from God. Yes. So he can direct you. Because he see what you don't see. Yes, he know what you don't know. Yes, and he can handle what you can't handle. Yes, mm-hmm. So because of their conduct and attitude, God was angry with them. And the essence of the warning is, they did not hear God's voice, but harden their heart. They had a form of religion. They had the tabernacle, the Ten Commandments, the priesthood. But none of that's supposed to take the place of hearing God's voice. They had sacrifice and ceremony. Now listen. Listen. No matter what you study at, no matter what, because some people go to a lot of Bible school. When they finish here, they go somewhere else. Well, no matter where you go to school at, I'm about to tell you something. Don't miss the one essential. They fail to hear God's voice. Don't care how many degrees, how many theses you write, how many tests you pass. The main ingredient for ministry is hearing God's voice and not being afraid to do what he tells you to do. So John 10:27 will serve his purpose here. My sheep hear my voice and follow me, and they won't follow a stranger. So let us fear that we don't make the same mistake that Israel made. They made the mistake of not entering into his rest. Now, average wise, you see that verse 1. It says, labor to enter God's rest. Let us therefore fear lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest. Any of you should seem to come short of it. And then they didn't mix it with faith. The gospel preached to them as well, but they didn't mix it with faith. But this is a promise. See, promises that are not mixed with faith, I think I told you last class, Romans 4:16. Didn't I tell you? Did you got that in your note? Huh?
Yes, sir.
I heard four people.
Yes, sir.
Romans 4:16. Romans 4, you better get back over there right now. Romans 4:16, because you're not going to worship a penny if you don't know how those three tiers stand together. Faith, grace, and the promise. See, because it caught my attention. Said, let us therefore fear lest a promise. So he promised us rest. But he has guideline for you to enter into it. Now I tell you, I've had my share, but I stay in rest. I've had my share of attack and everything else, and sometimes miss God. The main thing is, the man who tell me he never missed God, I'm getting as far from him or her as I can, because it all you're not planning on missing him. Matter of fact, the one who tried to follow him closer, that's the one who missed the most. Because he's training you, getting you in deeper territory, deeper territory.
Yes, sir.
Now, if any of y'all in here perfect, you can go to another school, because we can't help you here. you have graduated, you have died and come back again. This is a very simple statement. It is not possible to follow the Lord if you don't hear his voice. Now someone real deep will say that elementary. But in the spirit world, that's trigonometry. Geometry. You understand my language? It sounds so simple, but it is not possible to follow the Lord if you don't hear his voice. Not possible to enter into his rest if you don't hear his voice. You can't look at what you're going through. That has nothing to do with what God said to you. You follow me? See, we're not talking about rest when no wind blowing. No rain falling. We're not talking about that kind of rest. We're talking about rest in the middle of the mess. And if you don't practice it in the good time,
right,
when the other time comes, you're not going to make it. Here's what it means. Having an intimate, personal relationship with the Lord so that he can speak to you directly and personally. Whether through the Bible or some other way. Let us fear that we don't make the same mistake that Israel made. Let's resolve, class, let's resolve and decide to cultivate hearing the Lord's voice.
Yes, sir.
Hearing what?
The Lord's voice.
See now, you haven't been trained in ministry if you're not trained about this.
Yes, sir.
You know, you could be trained. I've been to Bible colleges. You could be trained to make an outline, do a thesis, systematic theology, all that stuff. No, train yourself to hear God's voice. Become acquaint thyself with him.
Yes, sir.
It's a wonderful thing.
Yes, sir.
And so, you cannot really do ministry unrestful.
Right. Yes, sir. Right.
And you can't rest. This rest is not by, again, I'll repeat myself, over these years I've seen things going right. Sometimes things get chaotic. That's when you ought to rejoice. It's Bible. What James 1 said. When you fall what? Knowing what? See, your faith is going to be tried. But if you're hearing God's voice, what are you getting more of? Faith? Why are y'all so slow? If you're hearing God's voice, what you getting more of? Faith? Sometimes the pressure come on to make you get closer. You're getting too lax. You're getting too easy. You're getting too comfortable. See, you must not get comfortable, not that comfortable, that you don't have time to hear God's voice and spend some time with the Lord. Are you following me?
Yes,
so, to enter God's rest continuously, we have to hear his voice. We have to obey his voice. Now, in his voice, he's going to give us decision. Yeah, God's voice, give decision. It'll correct our attitude, outlook, and outcome. Hearing his voice, obeying his voice. Train yourself to hear God's voice without me. Without your pastor. Personally train yourself. In your private time, we are not going to be there. But you're going to be there. Otherwise, what I'm saying, there are moments you're going to have to hear God for yourself. That don't mean going against your pastor, going against your leader, because that's the same voice. Jesus Christ. So, reverential fear is one of the demarcation of ministry. You got to walk it the rest of your life.
Yes, sir.
Paul said in preaching, in fear and trembling.
Yes, sir.
See, that's a humbling factor there.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Yes, sir.
There's a factor that you stay in your place.
Yes, sir.
No, no matter how high God place you, you stay in your place. I like what D.R. Jr. was mentioning about Moses striking the rock. Boy, I had a revelation. You see, because the second time God told Moses, speak to the rock. And what he was doing, he was bringing Moses into higher revelation.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, sir. He was leaving Moses out more. He was getting Moses to trust what I say.
Yes,
just say what I say. You do nothing. Just say what I say.
Yes,
but you know, in ministry, we want to strike the rock so we can have some say-so.
Yes.
So you stay elementary.
Yeah.
See, God promotion, God is less of you.
Yes.
And more of me.
Yes.
And so I see a lot of time it go the other way.
Yes,
less of God, more of them.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
All right. Look with me in the fourth chapter again. Let's go down to the 11th verse. That is again, you see. Let us labor, therefore, to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. See. Go to Hebrews chapter 6. Verse 11. And we desire that every one of you do show the same diligence to the full assurance of the hope unto the end, that you be not slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. All right, now, let me find that verse. It got four in this chapter. I'm looking for the one that said, let us be diligent. You see it? It's there. What? Verse 11 where?
It's in the New American.
Ah, I got it. Yeah. It said, let us be diligent, right? When you express diligence, put it up there, Ephesians 4:11 in the New American Standard. How many of y'all got a New American Standard? Y'all see the word diligent? No, what it was, Ephesians? Not Ephesians, Hebrew. You should have figured that out yourself. Hebrew 4:11. You're supposed to be my helper. Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall through following the same example of disobedience. Express diligent in every situation where you have responsibility. Leave it in a better condition, spiritually, financially, in every obvious way that it was when you found it. I'm going to read that to you again. And then I must say something that Philip told me, but his daddy told him, but his father told him, his blood father. His blood father said, never let a man do more for you than you do for him.
Yeah.
Write that down. That's what his daddy told him. And he's practicing that right now.
Yeah.
Never let a man do more for you than you do for him. I think that's a position to be put in, boy. Diligent. And what his father was saying, he was telling him, be diligent.
Yes.
Don't be lazy.
Yes.
Don't look for no handout.
Yes.
Yeah, be diligent.
Yes.
Be on fire.
Yes.
Do it. Do it yourself.
Yes.
Go the extra mile.
Yes.
Good God Almighty.
Yes,
in every situation, listen, where you have responsibility, leave it in a better condition, spiritually, financially, in every other way than it was when you found it.
Yes.
Exercise your faith in a special way, couldn't it? Therefore, let us be diligent to enter that rest so that no one will fall to following the same example of disobedience. This was a tragic mistake of Israel, that they did not take to heart the dangers of their spiritual condition. Yes, diligent. Diligent means a constant and honest effort to accomplish what is undertaken. A persistent exertion of body or mind. Now, who know what the opposite of being diligent? Lazy. What'd you say? Lazy. Yeah, yeah. The obvious opposite of diligent is laziness. You can't be lazy in ministry. You can't lay down the bed till the last minute. The author said here in the Bible doesn't have no good word to say about laziness. See, through faith and patience you inherit the promises. That means that you're not going to be lazy. You be diligent. Let us be diligent. Couldn't. Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. For this reason, make every effort, give all diligence to add to your faith goodness, 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 5, 7, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness, love. So what he's saying there, you see that the Christian life is not a static condition. You constantly adding on things. As he said, add to your faith. He's talking about adding to your faith. It's a list of adding, isn't it? It's a life of growth. Write it down. And a progress. I never stop. I have never stopped since I entered the ministry. It's a life of growth. It's a life of progress. To be static in ministry, you're a backslider. It required, ministry required diligent. It required diligent, whether things look good or whether things look bad, doing your best. Yes, sir. Notice 2 Peter chapter 1 again, verses 8 and 9. I love this verse. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But whosoever does not have them is nearsighted and blind, forgetting that they have been cleansed from their past sin. See, that diligence puts you in a certain rhythm. I preached some months ago, the rhythm of the supernatural, getting in the rhythm of the Spirit, getting in rhythm with God. You and God making the same step. You and God thinking the same thing. Is that possible? Absolutely. If you feed on his word. There's two alternatives here. alternative. Something. The politician going crazy. Something they can't talk about. Alternative. Man, we need to make a decision. We can't have no alternative. When things getting tight and things getting rough, we don't need no, you know, we need a. That lady looked real stupid. She said it's an alternative, something she said. What? What? Alternative what, son?
Facts.
Yeah. You, listen, children, y'all can't be resting around with no alternative fact. In ministry, it gets you killed. You got to know the fact. Boy, that was a dumb statement there. She a pretty smart girl, too. She's sharp, man. She's on her toes all the time. But Paternity fact. That's too deep for me, huh? How many of y'all heard that? To be effective and productive in our knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ, or to be ineffective, unproductive, with a condition that is described as being nearsighted, I read that to you, and blind. So we say leave it in a better condition, right? Look at 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. How long that clock was set for?
Hour
15.
Yeah.
Are you looking back at somebody else? You're not sure? What? Oh. You got a gun? No. Yeah, you got a gun though.
Yes, sir.
Oh, you got your gun. All right then. I said, what good is looking back if you ain't got no gun? You ain't got no gun, run, boy, you can't. I couldn't pass that one of that song good. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 10. Therefore, my brothers, because of the warning Peter gave, be all the more eager to make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you will never fall, and you will receive a rich welcome into the eternal kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So we're being warned against laziness. Right?
Yes,
all right, and nothing going to fall out the tree for you. You'll plant the tree. Yeah, and then cultivate around it. Uh-huh. See? Plant your own tree. You see what I'm saying? And then you know you got a good tree. All right, and then in the same chapter, let's in Hebrews 4, it's talking about let us hold fast to our confession. Seeing then, 14. Hebrews 4:14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest. You got to see that voice. See? That is passing through the heavens. You got to have a revelation of that.
Yeah.
Jesus, the Son of God, a revelation of that.
Yeah.
Then you can hold fast.
Yeah.
Let us hold fast to our profession. So look at seeing.
Yeah.
See, seeing bespeak revelation.
Yes, sir.
Seeing then we have a great high priest.
Mm-hmm.
Not just a high priest, he's our great high priest.
Yes,
that is passing through the heaven. Jesus, the Son of God. Now, the first chapter of Hebrews really exposed and revealed the revelation of Jesus being the Son. Let us hold fast our profession. That means confession. All right? Now, same way you got saved, you believe, I was listening to someone or reading something, and it just confirmed something, but it's so clear. If you don't have no confession, God ain't got nothing to confirm. If you don't say something about it, God don't have nothing to produce. That's why I say, let us hold fast our confession of faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promise. But you just can't say, I believe it. You got to confess it. If you say, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and you wasn't saved, that wouldn't have saved you. You got to say it out loud. I got, two or three men saved last week, this week, sometime. You're going to come up to my house and don't get saved. I caught that boy in the garage. I said, son, are you born again? He said, he looked at me kind of funny. I said, let's go. Got him saved. Thank God. If you look for him, you can get a person saved every day. We're too need conscious.
Yes, sir. Uh-huh.
You need to be at Calvin Church. Because I found your prosperity.
Yes, sir. Yes,
sir. Even though you know a lot of scriptures,
yes, sir.
But that I found God showed me something.
Yes, sir.
That it'll put you in prosperity so fast, you'll have a swim in the head.
Yes, sir.
Confession is derived from a word in the original Greek meaning to say the same as. That's the basic meaning of confession.
Yes,
saying the same thing.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
See, it's nothing you created.
Right, right, right.
It's something already created.
Yes, sir.
You lock into it,
yes,
and say the same thing.
Yes, sir.
It means that we say the same as God says. That we make the words of our mouth agree with God's word. Let's hold fast your confession. Don't look like nothing happened. Hold fast to it. It's impossible for it not to happen. And it also means that we say it out boldly. And we are not intimidated. The devil try to intimidate you. See? He intimidated me. He try to intimidate me with these dark glasses on. My left eye red shot. No. I see my eye white. I'm looking in another mirror. The person who tried to project they never go through nothing, get in your car, put it in double low. Don't look back and don't stop for no cautious light. You got to be plum red. Keep going. Many Christians lack a clear picture of Jesus as our high priest. Now, you know this, but you need to hear it because we're talking about, let us hold fast our confession. He is our representative in the presence of God the Father, standing good for us. Every time we make the right confession, speaking out a positive declaration with our mouth, Jesus has obligated himself to ensure that our confession is made good in our experience. We'll get that again now because you need to know this. You need to know this. Every time we make the right confession, speaking out a positive declaration with our mouth, Jesus has obligated, as the high priest, himself to ensure that our confession is made good in our experience. So don't say nothing about the situation. Say what you want to happen. Say what God's word says. Some people get smothered with their trouble. Don't let trouble smother you. Smother trouble. Therefore, holy brethren, partake of the heavenly calling. Consider Jesus, the apostle and high priest of our confession, Hebrews 3:1. These five words, the apostle and high priest, tell us that our confession enlists Jesus as our high priest. See, Jesus can't do nothing unless you say something.
Yes, sir.
Let me give it to you again. Hebrews 3:1, you got it?
Yes, sir.
These five words, the apostle and high priest, tell us that our confession enlists Jesus as our high priest.
Yes, sir.
But the opposite is also true. If we make no confession, we have no high priest. Now remember what I'm about to tell you now. Ministry is a partnership. And you must always enlist your senior partner. And whatever he tell you to do, he said, hold fast to your confession of faith, right?
Yes, sir.
Without waiting for his favorite promise, that if you don't confess it, you ain't got no promise.
Yes,
sir. See, how can I say that? God can't have faith for you. God has faith for you, but he can't have faith for you. You have to receive it. Believe it. Speak it. In the face of horrible situation, they're telling you, you're not going to come out. See, what kind of faith you think them Hebrew boys had after they came out of that fire? Yeah, I see him now. Bring something else on. Bring it on. Because they had an encounter and an experience now under their belt. What do you think, how David felt when he took Goliath down? Cut his head off. Don't you see David with his foot propped up on Goliath's shoulder? With his head in his hand? What did David use for energy? He had killed a bear. He had killed a lion. Those was frightening experience. But he went, God showed him, I'm with you. The lion can't stop you. The bear can't stop you. Therefore, Goliath can't stop you. What do you think how Joshua felt when the wall of Jericho fell down? Just like God told him it was going to fall down. Wide enough for two chariots to ride side by side. So whatever you're going through, go through it. Don't park there. Know you're about to have an encounter and an experience. You can't keep hearing everybody else's encounter. You can't keep hearing everybody else's testimony, baby. You got to have a testimony yourself. And testimony don't come off a smooth road. Somebody said, why me? Somebody made the expression, why not me?
Yeah.
So there are some things. But you had to learn to hold fast to your confession of faith. It seemed like sometimes naturally it's not working. But that's impossible. It's impossible for you to agree with God saying the same thing that God said. And God ain't going to take care of you. That's absolutely asinine. You don't lack it. There's a lot of things you don't lack.
Yeah.
Don't roll over in it. Don't eat your own vomit. So we make no confession, we have no high priest. Not that Jesus have ceased to be our high priest, but we have not given him the opportunity to minister as our high priest. He's the high priest of our confession. What I said?
He's the high priest of our confession.
No confession, no what?
No high priest.
Man, that's powerful.
Yes, sir.
Huh?
Yes, sir.
You know what that means, though? I love it. You know what that means? The ball is in my court. The Lord have permit me to bounce the ball.
Yes,
I'm looking for a shot.
Yes,
I'm looking for an opening, but I'm going to bounce until I get an opening. Yes, the opening got to come.
Yes,
yeah. God will send some angels to be my guard, you know.
Yes,
see, so when you're going through something, just keep bouncing the ball.
Yes,
keep looking at the goal.
Yes,
don't let him distract you.
Yes,
you're going to get your shot.
You
might have been going for two. He wants you to have three. That's why you're not letting you get close to the goal. Ooh, Jesus. They're blocking you from the 2-point. Can you see it?
Yes, sir.
Oh, man, y'all don't want to talk to me up in here. I know that's a good one. You receive it?
Yes, sir.
Some of y'all dealing with something right now.
Yeah.
He's going to keep you at the three-point line. He ain't going to let you shoot. Back off and trust me. Fire it. Let it rip. I've done that so many times. I think that's my name. You got to be able to do it, you know.
Yes, sir.
All right, class hour. That's all I'm doing.
That's awesome.
I just shot my best shot. I'll take you through the rest of these. Well, we got about 9 more. Just talk to you about them. They're all there in Hebrews. If you read the book of Hebrews. Matter of fact, read the book of Hebrews. The whole book? Yes. Why just read a chapter? Read the whole book and mark them, let us. Why not? You got a whole week? I wasn't talking about W-E-A-K. You got a whole week. I'm talking about 7 days. Read it. I mean, you can read 2 chapters a day, whatever. Just read it. Now, don't take it as a punishment. Oh, Jesus. I'm trying to get you. Lord, I got to read this whole book of Hebrew. Lord, have mercy. What is it, 13 chapters? Huh? Read it. I might walk in here and start asking some questions. I might give a pop quiz. I might do anything next session. You need to have that hanging over you, you know. Make something make you strong, you know. Now don't be out there that far and don't take the shot. Don't be wondering whether you're gonna make it or not. Throw it up. As somebody else gonna tip it. Hey, Mark, all right, class. Read Hebrews, mark that, find those 12 things. Don't go in your concordance or in that computer and find out where they're at. Read up on them. You got it?
Yes, sir.
All right. How many of y'all ever read a whole book? That was pretty good class. Y'all come from good churches. That's why. Yeah, okay. Well, read Hebrews. I don't care if you half read it. Had read it, read it again. All right, class, you're dismissed.